Hi, church. So good to be with you. I was going to say you all look good. You are. And thank you, Brother Ian, Olivia, for the reminder of genocide. And I didn't know you were going to wear black, so thank you, Holy Spirit. You know. My name is Ahmed, as Dave mentioned, and I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate this church for your steadfast partnership with us. And I got to say that, you know, when we, a lot of time we talk to our partner churches about ministry and how is it going. And I love Dave's usual line to me. I don't know if he realizes. He goes, "That's great, but how are you doing?" And I just love that every time that comes up. So, as Dave mentioned, I run House of Omid, which is an organization that serves newcomers and refugees here in Lower Mainland. And we also serve and work with the underground church movement inside Iran, where we run a network of underground churches and then bring them out to a safe house somewhere in the Middle East and train them and equip them and resource them and send them back so they could train others. And I took one of your elders with me last year, Brother Travis, to the safe house where he helped build our safe house. But what I want to talk to you today is opposition and how to handle opposition to our faith. But I want to talk to you about persecution in particular. But what I'm going to talk to you is not mainly the stories of how other people is going through persecution. I want to talk about us. I want to talk about you. You might tell yourself, well, we're in Canada. We could just worship loud and free, and we don't have persecution. Well, you're right. You might not have persecution the way, you know, they have it in a lot of countries. But we do face some form of persecution, and I want to talk about that. But it's interesting for you to know that according to the Organization for Human Rights, which is a secular organization, the most persecuted people group in the world today are Christians. And their most recent report says 80% of religious persecution in the world is directed against Christians. There are about two people either die or lose or go to jail for their belief in Jesus every 10 minutes. As we speak during this service, probably about 10, 15 people either lost their life or went to jail. And Travis came with me, one of our good friends, our staff. He's in prison as we speak. He was arrested August 15th and still in prison. We served together. We served the persecuted church, and then he was arrested a few months later. Persecution is happening in profound ways, in extreme ways, in Iran, in Iraq, in Syria, in a lot of African countries. But this is not just particularly to places that is illegal to be a Christian. It also directed against us. We face some form of persecution. And I want to tell you, if you think that happens to you, I want to tell you that this is one of God's 7,000 promises in the Bible. God promises that we are going to face some form of persecution. Pastor Dave's going to help me read some verses. Can you read for us 2 Timothy 3:12, please?
Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
It's very clear, isn't it? I assume you are a church today, and that is your desire, to live a godly life. So congratulations. You're going to suffer persecution. It's God's promise. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say people who live in certain kind of certain parts of the world. It says whoever, that includes me and you, that live in Canada. I want to tell you that We're not going to suffer the form of persecution that they are suffering. You know, it wouldn't be this violent experience that they're having, you know, at least for the foreseeable future. That's not going to happen to us. But there is some form of persecution that it's pure pressure that we face, and I'm sure many of you did. It is not fun to be a Christian in our universities and our school today. People are put down and made fun of. That's some form of pressure. They make fun of children and young adults as they're fuddy-duddies, they're old-dated. Young people are pressured to be quiet, to not tell people that they're Christians because they're made fun of. And that is some form of persecution. Sometimes at work, we work with non-believers, with non-Christians who own businesses. And they want us to do things that goes against what the Bible teaches. And we are pressured to do it. They say things that we don't want to hear. They want us to do things that we don't want to participate. And that's what we face in North Vancouver today, in Canada today. Sometimes we're invited to parties and to events that we shouldn't go. And if we say anything, we're made fun of. And that's some form of pressure that we all face. And what I want us to do, I want us to do two things today, to talk about two things. One is what to remember when we face any of these pressures, any of these opposition, and to remember three things and to do six things. Are we good like that? Yeah. Sounds good. The first thing that I want you to remember when you suffer that kind of pressure is opposition, pressure will make me more like Jesus. Isn't the goal of every Christian to be more like Jesus? So if that happens to you, you got to remember that. John chapter 15, verses 18 to 20 says,
Elliot, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Jesus says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also.
Jesus says very clearly, and God also says here that if he didn't, the Father didn't spare his only son, why do you think he's going to spare us? And also says, why would you think this is a real popular thing to do? We're not part of this world. And John chapter 3, verse 19 says,
this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil.
So I want you to imagine you go to to somebody who's sitting in a dark room for a very long time. And then all of a sudden, you know, these bright lights I can see. You turn on such bright lights. What's going to happen? They're not going to like it. And that's what you are as a Christian. The Bible clearly says you are the light of the world. And when you go to people that are sitting in darkness and living in darkness and you are a bright light, don't think they're going to like it. It's going to bother their eyes. On a second thought, is going to show how messy the room is. Because when it's dark, you don't see the mess. But you go there and you make the mess visible. Some of us have this myth of wanting to be perfect, popular. You know, we got to be light. Just got to be the light of the world, not give into this myth of being perfect. The second thing that we need to remember is opposition will deepen my faith, will deepen our faith. And for example, when you go to the gym, what will you do? Well, obviously many of you don't, but I'm just joking, I'm blind. So. But what do? You strain your muscle, you use heavy weight against your muscle to grow a muscle, to make it strong. If you go to the gym and pick up two popcorns and you do that all day, every day, nothing gonna happen. You're not gonna grow muscles. So remember, opposition is a method from God to deepen our faith, to make us make our faith muscle stronger. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says,
"These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed."
So it gives us an amazing example of how they make gold. They put it through very strong, heavy fire. And it says it purifies it. It makes it better. And the result is exciting. Glory, praise, and honor. Number three, the third thing that you need to remember, opposition, persecution, will provide me with eternal reward. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12 says,
"Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
I want you to remember the first verse we read, 2 Timothy 3:12, that amazing promise. This is a contrast to that. We have a just and fair God. He says, you will be persecuted, you will be put down, you will be pressured. But he also says, rejoice and be glad because your rewards are coming. And that's an amazing thing to remember when you're at work, when you're with non-believer friends, family, when you're at school, university, remember that your rewards are coming. But I want to also emphasize that we will be rewarded if we're gentle like Jesus. Sometimes some of us believers are obnoxious and self-righteous. But no, we got to be gentle when opposition comes, because we are the light of the world. So now I want us to look at the six things that the Bible tells us to do when we are pressured. And these are very important, and I encourage you to take notes, because you're going to face some kind of pressure if you haven't already. And many of you have, and this is what the Bible teaches what to do when we go through that. First, don't be surprised. When you suffer pressure, when you are persecuted, when you're opposed, don't be surprised. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 4:12 says,
"Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you."
Bible says, I told you, it's not, sometimes people are very surprised. I ask this question all the time. Oh, when you accepted the Lord, did your family, your friends, people reject you? Well, obviously. Well, I grew up in Iran. For me, it will be worse, and some people paid heavier price than others. But the Bible doesn't want us to be surprised, because he wants us to expect it. And when we expect it, then it's easier to go through it. Number two, don't be afraid. A lot of time, fear of rejection makes us be quiet, make us to not represent God, to not be vocal about who we are as Christians. And how can we get rid of fear? Bible says perfect love casts out all fears. We need to be constantly be filled with God's love. 1 Peter 3:13 to 16 says,
"Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander.
Clearly tells us don't be afraid, but circle these two words in these verses. Instead of worry, worship. Isn't that what Stephen did? When he was being stoned to death, he looked up to heaven. He was filled with God's love. He worshiped Jesus. So this is the two options that we're given, and we have the option to do it, and often we worry. We're afraid, we're scared of what's going to happen to us. Let me ask you this. Is an insult going to kill you? Promise me. Promise you. No. I've been insulted, and you know, I've been opposed, and didn't kill me. So if it's not going to kill you, then worship God and go through it without fear, with being filled with God's love. Number three, don't be ashamed. A lot of us, when we're in pressure, we're in the midst of non-believers and we're outnumbered, we're ashamed. We stay quiet. 1 Peter 4:16 says,
"However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name."
So clear. Let me tell you this, and you can write it down because it helped me so much. I don't need other people's approval to be happy. A lot of us are looking for other people's approval so we're happy. We're constantly trying to please people. You know, I want to tell you, with my experience, I was a Muslim, I became a Christian, God changed my life, and I have my book back in the foyer, you can take and read my story. And the day I accepted the Lord, it was the day that I was trying to commit suicide. I had an encounter with God, and I want to tell you, and leave that with you today, don't let anybody, to make you be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Don't let anybody to fool you out of following Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 says,
"For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil."
Let me tell you something. No matter what you do in this world, somebody's not going to like you. Seriously, like, it doesn't matter what you do. I sat in organizations board and it was just sick or whatever, and for some reason somebody was just there, it just didn't like me. Everything I said before I even started, he goes, "No." And I asked this guy, "Is there anything I did to offend you?" He goes, "No, I just don't like you." At least he was honest. But the Bible here tells us it's better to at least suffer for God's will, because we're going to suffer anyways. And that brings us to number four, which is very important, the fourth thing that we need to do, and that is recognize the source, which is Satan. It's not your coworker. It's not the government. Is not your teachers, is not your friends, is not your family, is the source that is behind it, that is opposing you. And Jesus recognized that many times. He recognizes on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father." Because he didn't see the people who were torturing him and opposing him and doing all kind of evil to him. He saw the source behind it. And let me tell you, Satan has no power, no ability to hurt God in any way, directly. But he has access to me and you. And if you are a parent, you would agree with me that the quickest way to hurt a parent is to hurt children. And that's what he's doing. In order for him to hurt God, he hurts you. He opposes you, your faith. Ephesians 6:12 says,
"For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms."
So we're not fighting with our opposers, with our colleagues and friends and our community members, because it's not them. God loves them as much as he loves us. But we are standing against the forces that bring all kind of evil to Christians. And let's look at Jesus' response to opposition. Before our brother reads 1 Peter 2:23, I also want to remind you how Jesus responded to opposition. You can read that in 2 Timothy. Jesus said, "Stay away from heated arguments." We love to argue. Some of us are good at it. But the Bible says stay away from it. Can you read 1 Peter 2:23, please?
"When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly."
Don't take it from me. The Bible is very clear. He did not retaliate, and that is our step five. The fifth thing that we need to do. Do not retaliate. Sometimes we have the power, we are able to retaliate, but the Bible says don't. And I also want to remind you of our great master. He had all the power in heaven and earth. If he wanted to retaliate, he had all the means to do it. He could have destroyed them. And when you feel that you need to retaliate, you also need to remember again Matthew 5:10-12. Rejoice and be glad, because your rewards are coming. You know, our brother who is in prison in Iran right now, that Brother Travis knows, we were able to get his wife out, and they told her interrogators were very frustrated with him. They came to his wife, said, "You got to talk to him." The interrogator told his wife that, "We told him, if you don't cooperate, we're going to keep you here for 10 years. And his response was, "Well, you can add another 5 years to it." That was so much like him, knowing him. But they also told his wife, "Your husband is very gentle. He's very respectful to somebody who he was interrogating." And that's a sign that he is being the light of the world in some of the most horrific situations. He's affecting his interrogator, his persecutor. He's saying that amidst of this horrifying situation, this man is still gentle. Romans 12, verses 17 and 18 says,
"Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone."
And verses 18 you read? Verses 17 and 18.
I can find 18 quickly.
Sure.
Anybody else got it?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people.
So it's clear, the Bible says never pay back evil with evil. But I like how honest the Bible is. It said as much as is up to you, live with peace with everyone. Sometimes there are some people you cannot live in peace with. Well, don't look at them, but you don't know who they are. But as much as it's up to you, you know, it's a personal decision that we don't pay back evil with evil. When people throw arrows at you, things that are unfair, and I'm sure you all experience that, and you might be experiencing that right now, I want to tell you, don't waste your precious time defending yourself. Let God defend you. And I promise He will. He has done that for me many times. And that really takes faith. It's not easy to not do anything and let God defend you. But when you do that, God will smile. He goes, "They're my son. They're my daughter." And that takes us to the last thing that the Bible tells us to do, our number sixth step. And this one is particularly for born-again Christians. Nobody else in the whole planet can do this one. The first five that I told you might find, you know, some of them in some belief system, in some of the religions in the world. Tell you, yeah, we say do this. But this one is only for you, for born-again Christians. And that is respond with the blessing. It's really difficult to do. Not just don't retaliate, not just forgive, but respond with the blessing. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says,
"Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And Ahmed, I'm giving you a two-minute warning.
Sounds good. And yeah, and the Bible teaches us to respond with a blessing. Luke chapter 6, verses 23 to 30 says,
"But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back."
To be honest with you, personally, I don't like this verse. If I was given an option to take a verse out of the Bible, it would be this one. It's really difficult to do. But God has given us the Holy Spirit to be able to do it. We cannot do it alone. And that's how we could respond with blessing. So if you begin to do these six principles, first, God will smile. Number two, you will be blessed according to Matthew 5. And number three, your public opposers, people who pressure you, will become your public opposers will become your private seekers. And you guys are going through Paul's life, and I want to give you an example of his life. He was the church's public persecutor, who became private seeker and met Jesus. I want to remind you of Nicodemus, who at daytime he opposed Christianity, opposed Jesus publicly. But at night he came to Jesus, he goes, "Tell me about this born again thing." And I want to leave you with this question before I conclude. If today, hypothetically, they made Christianity illegal in Canada, is there enough evidence in your life that you could be convicted of being a Christian. I want you to think about that. As I mentioned to you, we work with the persecuted church, and we train, equip, and train them. And we have a network of churches and leaders that we help at our safe house in Middle East. And one of your elders came with us and saw our conference, leadership conference. And we recently added a second floor to our safe house, and we're starting a program called Healing of the Persecuted Church. And this is the only way these leaders can grow and train others. People like me, we're refugees, we cannot go back to Iran. And to train a leader, it costs $350 to bring one persecuted believer to the safe house. And I want to tell you about this brochure. We call it Hope Partners Campaign. I'm hoping I'm holding it right. And I want to invite you to adopt a persecuted leader by becoming a monthly donor for a small amount of $25, $50, or $100. You can adopt one, two, or three persecuted believers. But the good news is we have a generous donor for the next 3 months who will double your monthly giving to us. So if you adopt a believer, that will be two that will come to the safe house. And lastly, I have some of my book there in the back there. It's just by donations. But the family that I told you that the father is in prison, the husband, wife, and two children we brought them out of Iran, but they don't have a breadwinner. So if you buy a book today, you give a donation, it will go all to this persecuted family. And I have some packages with the books in it, with some goodies of House of Omid that gifts to you. Feel free to take them all. I don't want to take any of them home. Thank you so much, and I'm just so blessed by you and your generosity, North Shore Alliance. Thank you.